Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have plenty to talk about the Browns, and one reason that I'm just a little, just slightly, ever so slightly fired up, and not for probably somebody who you'd think I'd be fired up for. But so much good stuff to get into surrounding. We're going to talk a little bit about Browns quarterbacks today, as it feels like we do talk every day, because that's what we talk about the Browns, because there's four of them, and, well, at least got to rank them on the very least. But so much to get into. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here from 7 to 11. We have Michael Markoch running the board as well. Heard him on the updates, pulling double duty. If you're not used to it at this point, I feel like we got to get used to it. I feel like everybody else got to used to just Michael being here.
I hope nobody notices. That means I'm doing my job well, right?
And it's true. They're just like, Michael's doing good on the updates, and you're doing a great job. They're not like, whoever's on that board, woo, I don't know what is happening. Noises are playing all over the place. They make no sense. That's where you have to draw the line. That's where we have issues. But up to this point, no problem. We are 4 minutes in. We have room to mess up. We have 4 hours to see what happens. Although, you have messed up to this point, period. So we're doing good. We're perfectly fine. But I did tell you guys, I was a little fired up today. And honestly, I just feel like everything sort of contributed to it at this point. It wasn't even just listening to our station across the day, which also fired me up specifically. It kind of didn't get me going too bad. I was like, all right, well, we're having a conversation. That makes sense. Afternoon Drive fired me up a little bit. But more importantly, it was on social media. We talked to Daryl yesterday. And Daryl had talked about it feels like they're preparing Dylan Gabriel to be the starter week one, which I thought ultimately made a ton of sense. Right? Like, it added up that the way that they've been divvying up reps and divvying up first team reps specifically, that they were getting him ready. I don't know if I said week one. I wouldn't put those words in Daryl's mouth. He did not say week one. But to start at some point this season, where Shador felt like more of the developmental project, and Daryl asked Shador, or asked Kevin Stefanski about that today, and Kevin gave a Kevin Stefanski response to it. Like, that's all it was. Daryl fired up a good question, and they gave a Kevin Stefanski response in return of like, oh, well, you know, we're not in installation period, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. That's what Kevin does. I wasn't expecting anything. But what actually got me fired up was seeing the comments across some of the social media today, just based on things that we put out. And things that Daryl was tweeting out as well, because Daryl had tweeted out just very simply, Dylan Gabriel first up in 11-on-11. As I told Jake last night, they're getting this kid ready to play. And I was honestly kind of blown away by the amount of Dylan Gabriel hate and like pairing it with Shador Sanders' love that went on because of that simple statement. Which Daryl is 100% right. Like, in the way that he draws it up, he is wrong in no aspect of that. The fact that Dylan Gabriel is getting first-team reps does mean they are getting him ready to play in some set. Right? Like, Shador has not yet taken a rep with the first-team offense. He did go against the first-team defense today, but has not yet taken a rep with the first-team offense. It is a very clear indicator of where they stand on the rookie quarterbacks right now at this time. We are 7 camp days in. That's it. But it's an indicator at this point of what we've seen. And I'll be honest, I just don't understand, one, the confusion on where this quarterback battle is, and two, the hate attached alongside of it with Dylan Gabriel. And let's keep in mind, like, we're going to be, you know, fair journalism here. I was the person who exploded on social media when they took him in the third round because I was losing my mind because I had Dylan Gabriel ranked as my 9th quarterback. And I still will hold in my heart that I think Shador is a better NFL quarterback than Dylan Gabriel. In my opinion, from watching them in college, that's the way I would have drawn it up. I also understand the fact that when both guys get taken by the Browns, I'm not out here being picky. Like, I have no reason to be so mad that Dylan Gabriel is getting first team reps and progressing well with the team. And it's not like he's putting on an absolute burner show where he is just lighting up defenses in training camp. He's been fine. He's been okay when he's ran with the first team. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been terrible. I just don't understand how quickly people flip on that and immediately turn it into, well, this is what we should be doing with Shador. Guys, we don't have the leeway to be choosy about which quarterback we want to actually turn out to be good. We can still think it's Shador. By the way, there's still 17 games to play in the regular season and three preseason games on top of it. There's still plenty of time to see Shador Sanders. But when it comes to the start of the season or early on in the season, I'm just looking for a quarterback that'll look any good. Right? If either of the two rookies steps up and actually does something, I'm fully on board. If Dylan Gabriel turns into my franchise quarterback, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be mad. Shador never gets a shot and Dylan Gabriel turns out to be amazing. Like, if he turns into Drew Brees 2.0, I'm not going to be upset with the Browns, and neither will anybody else. It's not hard to figure out why Dylan is currently in the driver's seat between the two rookies. As we've known all along, that's the guy they wanted. They drafted him earlier than they drafted Shador. It shouldn't be confusing that Dylan Gabriel has the edge in this competition. They thought he was the better quarterback when they drafted him. Even though they'll tell you, you know, what round you were drafted in doesn't matter. It kind of does at some point. Right? At least for the very start of things, it matters where you are drafted because it tells you how the team views you. If you tell me right now, and we are having conversations, obviously this isn't the case for outside of football reasons, but if it was a battle in the running back room between Quinshon and Dylan Sampson, nobody's going to pound the table over Dylan Sampson not getting the first team reps and being the running back on the field and them giving that over to a guy that they draft in the second round compared to the guy they draft in the fourth round. Because again, they indicated to you that the running back they drafted in round two, they like more, they believe in more to be the better guy than the one they drafted in the fourth round. Doesn't tell me that they dislike Shador. Doesn't tell me that they're intentionally throwing away the potential that he has to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. They're telling you right now, I like Dylan Gabriel more than I like Shador Sanders at this current point in time, which seven training camps in is not hard to fathom. I imagine through their process, they figured Shador has a lot more to work on than Dylan Gabriel does to be able to run this offense. And we expect Dylan to be out in front. But I can be excited for Shador. I am excited for Shador. Like, him going against the first team defense today was a really good sign. And I do still have high hopes that he can be, you know, potentially the quarterback of the future. I also don't need to put down Dylan Gabriel to do that. I don't need to look and I'm going through and sifting through just negative comment after negative comment on Dylan Gabriel. Obviously, again, these are not like they're getting under my skin, but it's confusing more than anything. As a franchise that's looking for a quarterback, that you're out here saying that, oh, well, early on, they're picking one over the other, and now I'm upset. You don't have a reason to be. You want to see the two rookies play. I just don't really think it matters what order I see them play in. I just want to see them play. And if the first guy up, whichever one it may be, which certainly looks like it's going to be Dylan Gabriel at this point, if he runs away with the job, I'm not going to be upset. Was it a mistake maybe to draft two if you already had your guy in the third round? You can bring up some different points. You can say that was the case. But you're not going to be upset if you find a franchise quarterback. I just don't understand how, if looking from the outside in, just saying, and really all it is, and I know this is all it is that Dylan Gabriel is sub 6 foot and people look at him and go, that guy can't play quarterback. You know who else is sub 6 foot? Kyler Murray, who has made it, hasn't been amazing, but he's been fine. Bryce Young was the number one overall pick. He's sub 6 foot. In fact, he's 5'10". Drew Brees was 6 foot on the dot and is one of the most prosperous quarterbacks we've ever seen in the NFL. And I'm not saying Dylan Gabriel is Drew Brees. I'm just saying, like, height is not everything. We know what the Browns do. It's going to be bootleg after bootleg, and he's not going to be throwing from the pocket anyway half of the time. You find ways to get your quarterback to get to throwing lanes. We've seen smaller quarterbacks succeed in the NFL. We've seen 6 foot and sub 6 foot quarterbacks still be able to throw the football over their offensive line. It's not a real gripe. Again, I have my own concerns about his size. He is small. Even height aside, he is a small quarterback. But I don't get why we have to trash one of the guys that was drafted by the team who has been, nothing but positive here. He has not done anything negative. He's gone out to camp every single day, and everybody in the building, everybody on the team has nothing but positive things to say about Dillon Gabriel. And the fan base, because he's under 6 foot and because you also brought in Shedeur Sanders, feels the need to just pile on and trash on him and do everything that you can. I do not understand it. We are so stuck up on just one thing from a quarterback instead of looking at the real possibility. You might just have an answer. Don't know that it will be, but any potential that I can have for that is a good thing right now. And if you want to hate on Kenny Pickett, because we've seen 3 years of him in the NFL, go ahead. Hate on Kenny Pickett. That's a guy that you can actually trash on because you've seen him play NFL football. I don't get how a guy that you haven't seen play a single snap in the National Football League is the guy who we harp on and say is going to be no good. We don't do this with almost any other guy. I mean, you can go through and look at third-round picks from years prior. Was anybody trashing on the fact that Zach Zinter was going to be able to be anything as an offensive lineman? No, you were like, not a bad pick. Hopefully it's something. But it's the idea that we view him as overdrafted and we view Shedeur as underdrafted and feel that it should be flipped. Well, the Browns are running it exactly how we'd expect them to run it. The player who got drafted higher is the player who they like more. I think to some degree you should embrace the idea that you have a quarterback who has not played in the National Football League yet, who could be something for you, to actually be the answer. Let him play his way out of it. You don't have to start him on a negative foot just because you don't like the fact that he's a little bit smaller than most of the other guys that play the position. 216-474-0092. Because what it feels like to me is it's more important to see Shedeur. So answer that question. Is it more important to see Shedeur succeed this year than Dillon Gabriel? You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We have the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We're going to talk plenty of Browns here in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. Get a grip at 9. React to the Guardians. We'll bring in Michael in the 10 o'clock hour for Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Is it more important that you see Shedeur Sanders succeed this year than Dillon Gabriel? Because if so, I need to hear the reasoning. We're going to get to your calls and more on this coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys here until 11 on The Fan. Because that's the message that I'm getting, is that people don't care which of them succeeds. They just care that it's Shedeur that succeeds. And that it's Shedeur that gets the opportunity. I just don't understand it. Again.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm in on Shador. Like, I have been in on Shador since... I actually don't know what month it was. I was going to pull back to a month of when I claimed it. It was very early on in the process. But I consistently, over and over again, said, like, Shador, I think, is the best fit with the Browns. And I do. I still believe that Shador fits what Kevin Stefanski likes to do. I just don't understand where it all comes from that we look at this and think... Well, you have to give Shador the reps. No, Shador has to go earn the reps. Like, Shador has to prove himself. And I don't think that necessarily he isn't. And there's a conversation to be had about whether or not he should be getting those and should be also being mixed in with the ones alongside of Dylan Gabriel and Joe Flacco right now. But I just don't see how anybody is mad at Dylan Gabriel for getting them or mad at the Browns organization for doing what... was probably the more expected thing from the gate. Like, I think we just throw out the idea of where these guys were drafted. We throw out the idea of what we think the Browns think of them and only attribute our own thought process to, oh, here's what they'll probably do with the quarterbacks. They haven't shown any indication that Shador would be out in front and ahead of Dylan Gabriel. It has been Dylan taking those reps and proving himself day in and day out. And by the way, you don't have a reason to not like it. Like, if Dylan was out there getting every pass he threw batted down, throwing interceptions, not being able to muscle up the ball to get it to the sidelines, and just looking bad, this would be a different conversation. He's looked fine. He's looked relatively on par with the rest of the quarterbacks in the room. Like, I still think the veterans are probably maybe a step ahead, right? Like, Joe Flacco, I mean, he's 40 years old. He's played two decades worth of football in this league. Yeah, he's probably still out ahead of the rookie quarterback right now. It's probably still likely that you go with Joe Flacco to start the season or Kenny Pickett, whoever knows. And we'll talk about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But I just don't see really the idea that everybody is so mad about Dylan just going out there and playing well. It just feels like everybody wants to see Shador, and that's the only thing people are going to be happy with. Again, 216-474-0092. Is it more important for you to see Shador succeed rather than Dylan? Let's go out to the phones. Victor is in North Royalton. What's going on, Victor?
Hey, Jake. How's it going? So, I mean, I'll be honest, man. It sounds like you kind of changed your tone a little bit. You know, like a month and a half ago, you were like one of the biggest leaders of Shador train, it seemed like, you know. And I feel like one of the biggest things about that is social media driven. Everybody's sitting there staring at their phone. You know, and being told what to think. And I'm not saying that you're in that boat. I'm saying there's a lot of this Shador energy comes from that idea. You know, because, I mean, if you look at what did he do at Colorado that makes everybody so certain that he has any bit of abilities? I mean, he only ran one offense, you know, versus Dylan Gabriel, who was in three different offenses, had a winning record at all the colleges in which he started, played in major bowl games. All of those things are eluded Mr. Sanders. So I'm just trying to figure out exactly. Like, I mean, my brother argues with me and he goes, like, Shador had the record for the best completion percentage with a clean pocket in NCAA history. Like, I don't understand how that is the argument, you know, for why Shador should be there. Like, what's your biggest selling point to Shador that, like, when you say Shador should – maybe not necessarily have the reps, but you think Shador is the best quarterback on the team. Like, where do you lay the credence for that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's credence to that. I think there's credence to looking at him and saying that he, like, again, if you want to say he deserves reps, I think he's played well against what he's gone up against so far, which has been third and second team defenses mostly up until today. I think he's played well. Like, and it's not even necessarily Victor. I'm not, like, not accusing you in a way, but just, I don't know that I changed my tone. Like, I like Shador, and I still think Shador can be great. I'm just not solely sold into the fact that it has to be Shador. I think it probably will be if it's going to be somebody, but that doesn't necessarily lend itself to just hating on Dylan Gabriel and thinking that because I had him as my ninth quarterback that immediately he comes in and is just absolute garbage and that it should be Shador over him. If the Browns think Dylan Gabriel gives them a better chance to win and is the better quarterback right now, that's the guy they should go with. They should follow their heart of hearts and go with that guy. So I just don't see how people are so upset by that. That's what really bothers me. Like, I would want to give a fair shot to either of the two guys. I don't know they're giving Shador a fair shot. I don't know that they're not. But I know they're giving it to Dylan right now.
Well, I would say this much. Like, I think, you know, we overhype Shador a lot because of completion percentage. And we have to remember, he had Travis Hunter, who technically probably went number one overall. Like, you know what I mean? It's the first guy to go off the board after quarterbacks, right? Like,
right.
That's, you know, there's a lot of people that Travis Hunter was the de facto number one player in college football last year. And we have to consider that it had a lot to do with the fact that it probably helped Shador out a lot. Not saying that is the major factor, but it is also a major factor. If you have, we've seen some really great quarterbacks lose their number one wide receiver and they're throwing to a bunch of nobodies. And I would probably say, except for maybe like Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, there's only like a few guys I can think of my entire life that make wide receivers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot of these guys get assisted by the good hand. You know, so I think Shador is getting the proper reps he should. I mean, listen, I think the NFL has done a great job of setting it up to where we all thought Shador was going to be a number two overall pick. And of course, he falls in the number fifth round. And so a couple people were talking about this. They were like, you know, it's a possibility. It's going to be a great headline to sell and a great storyline for people to talk about. And a lot of people jumped on that storyline. You know, I talk to my brother about sports the most, and that's like literally every single day I have to ask him to stop. Like, can we talk about something else? You know what I mean? He's like, well, Shador was 9 for 9 in training camp today. And it's like, I've never ever seen this kind of vitriol, you know, either way. I mean, like you said, you're like, you don't understand the vitriol hate for Gabriel. I don't understand the vitriol love that, you know, that Shador is getting. You're like, where did it come from? It's manifesting from something. And people are like, it has to be Shador, which again, you were making the point, makes absolutely no sense. I'm a Browns fan. And if we can have a quarterback, I don't care what their name is. If we can end that, you know, with say 40 names on the back of the jersey and we can just all be rocking the same guy. I mean, I don't care if it's Shador or it's Gabriel. I mean, we'll just all get behind, you know, somebody.
Yeah, hey, Victor, I couldn't agree with you more, and I appreciate you making the call. Really good stuff. He touched on something that I think a lot of people miss, too. Like, if you're evaluating these quarterbacks, and listen, it's the only way that we have, like, you go, you check the training camp stats, wherever, you know, there's like 9 different places that are tracking every single day and posting what the training camp stats are for the Browns. If you're going through and tracking those, that's all that you're using, you're like, Shador was 9 for 9 today. The thing that you miss is also the 6 plays that were blown dead because Shador took a sack. The completions that don't count because Shador scrambled out of the pocket after it had broken down for a play that would never have been there when, you know, if you were actually allowed to hit the quarterback, which you never will be in practice. Like, you miss those things. Those things aren't apparent. And it's like, okay, you can be 9 for 9. Notice how nobody tracks yardage in those training camps. Like, at times watching Shador, I'm not saying he's been bad. Again, I think he's been fine. He's made some really nice throws. But a lot of the throws that I saw him make out at training camp were your short dink and dunk, your dump offs, just throwing to the easy check down, all those types of moves, which again is a big part of the Browns offense. It's just not the only part. There's a million things that go into this. Your footwork in the pocket, your ability to read the defense. Are you doing it at a quick level or are you checking down too early? These are things that all of us watching cannot just comprehend because we don't know what's in the Browns' mind. And again, I'm not here to tell you Shador should be getting first reps. I'm not here to tell you that he's right in the right place. I don't know the answer to that. The Browns have their evaluation process and they go through it. All I know is that Dylan is currently doing better than Shador is in their eyes. I just don't see how it's a bad thing. Again, 216-474-0092. More important for you to see Shador succeed than Dylan Gabriel, because that's the way it felt today. Adam is in Lakewood. Adam, is it more important to see Shador succeed than Dylan?
Oh, no, not at all. They're both going to do great. I love how it's how our quarterback room is rounding out. My heart is in the space. It's Flacco's team until it's Shador's. I am viewing Shador as when Kansas City drafted Mahomes, and they just made him sit the 1 year. That's what I want for Shador. I am watching Mr. Gabriel. He looks like a great number two. I trust him. I think we'll be in critical games in the middle or latter part of the season. And if Joe needs a blow or has a ding, I'm confident with Gabriel going in there and winning us a game or two. And I kind of thought that was going to be Pickett's role, but we don't know what's going to happen with him. But I want to see it. I want to act like a talented
intelligent franchise and let our new guy cook and relax. And I think Joe can win us 12 games this year. Playoffs is going to be no problem. It's a Super Bowl, I'm concerned.
Well, Adam, you have a much higher outlook than I do, but I appreciate the call. Adam says he's taking it much higher than I am. I don't think they're getting up to that quite standard. But even there, it's like it's Joe's team until it's Shador's. Yeah, I don't believe that this is a Mahomes-like path for Shador Sanders. And you know what? There are points where like maybe that is the best case for him is that he sits for a year. And maybe that's what he needs. Like, truthfully, that's what Patrick Mahomes needed. Like, when he was at, I wanted to say A&M, when he was at Texas Tech, he was a good quarterback. Nobody thought he was going to be the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, he was regarded relatively highly, but not so much so that you treated him as if he should have been the top pick. Like, a lot of people had Mitch Trubisky going over Patrick Mahomes. A lot of people had multiple other of the quarterbacks in that draft right around the same range, if not going over Patrick Mahomes. It's like, no, he needed the year of development. He needed to sit behind a guy like Alex Smith and learn. And he's even come out and talked about how much that's helped him in his career. Again, maybe that is what Shador needs. I don't know that you get that with the Browns. I don't know that I want to see that be the path. But I just don't understand it. I don't think it's Joe's team until it's somebody else's. I think it's whoever's willing to take the job. Whoever steps up and takes a job, it's their team. I don't even know that it's Joe's team. It's more likely than not that it is, but it can be anybody's. And it could be Dylan's. If Shador steps up in preseason and he looks like an absolute world beater and starts getting first team reps and outplaying everybody else, then you know what? It'll be Shador's team. I'm just open to the possibilities. I know who I think is better. Like, I do. I think Shador Sanders is a better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel. My opinion means nothing in this. And I'm not out there evaluating these quarterbacks every single day and watching the absolute minuscule things that they do and knowing what they need to work on directly with talking with them. I haven't done that. The Browns are the ones doing that. I just, again, if Dylan Gabriel is your answer, I don't get where the hate comes from. Mike is in Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Mike. Or, sorry, Jake. How are you doing this evening? It's I'll be honest. I gave you a chance to respond.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm sorry.
No, okay. Yeah. I appreciate it, Mike. What's going on?
Yeah. So I'm listening last. The air, I've got some wetland I like to sell them. You know, if you think the Browns are hitting the 12-win mark, but that's just not even possible. But I want to talk to, like, for the previous caller. I think he has you confused with a previous show's guy about the love affair with Shador. You've been straightforward the whole time that you think, although you have said you think Shador is the more talented guy, but you believe that there's an order here and you believe the way the Browns are playing this is correct. And you stood by that the whole time. I listen to you every night. I can totally back you on that one. Having said that, you know, it's like this. We have to protect the young guys a little bit. They're not going to get thrown into the fire. I don't want to see that. I've said that many times on here. But I do think that, you know, from a standpoint of where we're at with, you know, the guys that are currently in camp, it isn't anybody's team. I totally agree with that. They kind of have to earn this. There's a lot of football to be played before that decision has to be made. And it is kind of silly, but I do think he has you confused with a guy on another call or show right before you that really seems like he's ready to pick out China and silverware, because I have listened to him from the very beginning, and he sounds like one of those people you're talking about that just can't hear nothing wrong about the guy and gets crazy every time he throws a bomb to the ball boy. So, I hear what you're saying. I totally agree with you. We don't need to get in a hurry for anything. Have a good night, Jake.
Yeah, appreciate the call as always, Mike. Again, it's just, like, and listen, JP thinks that Shador's great, and I also, again, like, I'm on board. I think Shador is a very good quarterback. JP and I just have different processes going about this. Like, JP's going to go fight for his guy. I respect that. Like, if you think Shador should be out there and starting, well, you can sing that to the high heavens. It's the beautiful thing about the career that we work in. You have your opinion, and you're allowed to have your opinion. I just think that, like, I know who I think is going to be better. I think that plays out in due process. If Shador doesn't play at all this year, I might get angry. Like, I might have a problem. I'm going to have a gripe with the quarterback situation at some point the way they play this out. I'm almost positive I will. I'm not doing it in day 7 of training camp. Like, that's just not, I'm never going to hate on Dylan Gabriel until he plays and he throws 3 interceptions in back-to-back games. Then I'll be like, you know what? This kid stinks. He's awful. Get him off the field. I don't need to see it anymore. He hasn't done anything near that. I just don't, like, again, it's a confusion from Browns fans needing to go through, and it's a confusion of, you're allowed to have the Shador love affair. I'm okay with that. If you think Shador is great, by all means, sing to the high heavens that Shador is a great quarterback and you think he's going to be amazing. You don't need to put Dylan Gabriel down to do it. And you don't need to immediately think, just because you think Shador is great, that he instantly deserves to be the quarterback higher on the depth chart. Again, everybody has to earn their spot. Everybody has to go out there and prove it. And that's no different for Shador. It's no different for Dylan. If they feel like Shador is worthy of getting first-team reps, then I'm sure he's going to start getting first-team reps. You saw him step up today. They started giving him some looks against the first-team defense. Clearly, he's doing something right. He's making progress. Allow him to make progress. He said it himself. He told Deion, don't come out and watch me. I still have a lot of work to, you know, actually go out there and put in the work that I need to. There's no point in coming out to watch me right now, because I'm sure, Dad, you want to see me throw to equipment managers and ball boys? Because that's where I'm at right now. Compared to these other quarterbacks, that's where I'm at. You don't draft a guy just to bury him. There would be no point in doing that. Even in the most dysfunctional franchises, you draft a guy, if he was clearly the best quarterback in the room and clearly deserving of the reps over Dylan Gabriel, I'm sure he would be getting the reps over Dylan Gabriel. Let's go back out of the phones. Matthew's in Gates Mills. What's going on, Matthew?
How's it going, Jake? I just got one thing to say about this quarterback race. When it comes down to it, I think what we need to do for it is watch these rookies. I think we need to put right now, I think we need to put Joe at the starting position. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to watch and see how both of them do off on the sideline, what they're doing for the team, what they're doing for their own reps. I think watching them watching Joe is going to be the most important thing, especially for this year for both of them. I don't think it really matters where they're drafted. I don't think what matters is, you know, what they're doing in their training camps right now. I think what's going to matter is these preseason games. I'm praying that the organization starts them out in these preseason games. Might be crazy for saying that, I don't know. But, you know, I want to see how they do in these preseason games. I want to see what they're going to do against other teams. I mean, I like to believe that the Browns defense in training camp and in the games are the number one defense in the NFL. Might be crazy for saying that too, I don't know. But, you know, I want to see how these quarterbacks are going to do against other teams' defenses. I want to see that in the preseason games, and I want to see them battle for that number one position. And I want to see Joe trying to shut them out of that number one position. I want him to put it up, step up, you know, not making it an easy game for either of them to get that position. I just, you know, I hear a lot of people talking, talking crap about both of them. I don't think that's where we should be looking at right now. I think we need to be looking at what's really going to happen during the season for both of those players.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Matthew. And we got to run, but I appreciate you making the call. We're up against it. But again, it's like, I don't understand why anybody has to be put down. I don't understand why you really have to put down Kenny Pickett. I don't understand why you have to put down Joe, either of the two rookies. Like, guys, we're in quarterback wasteland. If there's a diamond sitting in the rough, just hope that the diamond sitting in the rough comes out. I don't care what his name is. Again, 216-474-0092. Is it more important to see Shador succeed this year than Dylan Gabriel? We'll wrap up with your calls coming up here in 5 minutes as well. The Station Buzz, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick, Shador Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, and Daryl's in Cuyahoga Falls. Want to jump in? What's going on, Daryl?
Jake, how are you, my man? I'm a first-time caller. Love your show.
Appreciate it very much, man. Appreciate you making the call.
Listen, you know, my football acumen is not all that great. But, you know, being a, you know, I think me and Bernie Kosar are about the same age. So I've been a longtime Browns fan. I think the love affair with Shador is the fact that, man, you know, I'm a therapist, and I need therapy with all of this. I just want to see this kid get a shot. I didn't hear Gabriel's name before the draft. It was all about Shador. Everybody thought he was going to get picked up in the first and second round. I still don't understand why he dropped to the fifth. You know, maybe somebody can explain that to me. But still, I just want to see the kid get a shot. I want to see what it's going to look like in preseason. I mean, it's going to come out. As long as I see that, you know, if the other quarterbacks went out, I mean, they thought we picked up Kenny Pickett was a first-round draft pick, and look what's happened. When they drafted him, I was hoping for the best. Then we turn around and get Shador, another kid to draft. And so I'm just crazy over the whole thing, man. I just hope it straightens it all out. Hope it all straightens out. I hope that even the general manager and the coach are geniuses and just know something that we all don't, or this thing is just crazy, man. But, yeah, thanks. That's all I got to say, Jake. Just leave your comments after that, man. Love your show.
Appreciate it a ton, Daryl. Appreciate you making the call, man. I want to see Shador get a shot, too. And you know what? If we get three preseason games and Shador plays in all of them and he looks fantastic and outplays Dylan Gabriel by a mile, this will be a different conversation. You got to let him prove it while there's a live defense out there. That's my big thing. These guys are going to have their opportunities. They're going to be able to prove it in front of us on a real field against a real defense that is not their own. That's when I'll start pounding my fist on the table. I'm just not doing it right now. Like, and again, it's not going to be going, oh, Dylan Gabriel's too small. This can't work. It's going to be, hey, Shador looks better right now. Let's play him. And Shador doesn't look great when you play him. I'll probably go to Dylan Gabriel after that. All right. Without further ado, let's get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off. We'll go to Ken and Anthony. They had around the AFC North today, a football season staple. And they talked to James Rapine over at Cincinnati Bengals on SI and asked him who would he start for week one.
James Rapine, Locked On Bengals, as well as Sports Illustrated. Who would you start if you were the Cleveland Browns? Who would you start at quarterback?
Shador Sanders.
Week one?
Whoa!
For sure, week one.
But whoa!
Can we start by giving him some first-team reps?
No. I mean,
what the hell are you drafting him for if you're not going to give him a few reps with Jerry Jeudy?
Well, one, I didn't really need to dig at Jerry Jeudy at the end, James. And we like James. We have him on from time to time. But, like, again, it's this thing of, like, can we get him first team reps? Can we at least get him out there? Yeah, when he proves himself to go in, you know, need to be out there. If it doesn't happen in the first few weeks of training camp, maybe by joint practice, maybe by preseason games. But it's not you draft him, you have to play him. Guys, I know the preconceived idea about Shador, and I'm more bought into that preconceived idea than the fact that he's a fifth round pick. But like, how many quarterbacks do you draft in the fifth round where you're like, gotta play him? Week one, I gotta see him. At some point this year, he needs to be ahead of any other quarterback that they brought in this year. It doesn't happen. It's not a thing. No other team goes through that process. It's entirely different all the time. It's very rarely ever the fifth round guy who gets a chance to step up. Third round, every once in a while. Every once in a great while. You see guys like Desmond Ridder. Not saying it usually pans out well, but from time to time you get that. Almost never the fifth round rookie. And there might be differing reasons on why he fell to the fifth round. I truthfully don't know the real reason. I don't think anybody does at this point except for the 29 other teams who let him fall that far, and really all 32 teams who let him fall that far. But, like, you just don't know at this point. You got to let it actually play out. He'll get his chances. We've been talking about it. Let's talk some other quarterbacks, though. As Andrew Siciliano, play-by-play voice over on Browns Radio Network, was on with Baskin and Phelps today and talked about that starting position and what it's going to look like leading up to week one.
Here's my thought on Shador, and this goes for Dylan Gabriel as well. You're going to see a lot of these rookie quarterbacks in the preseason, and both of them are going to make a lot of plays where if you are in one of their corners, you're going to stand up and go, see, that's the guy. Both of them are gamers, and both of them, they will make plays in the preseason. But at the same time, you have to ask, are either going to truly be ready for week one against the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson? You're going to start a veteran week one.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely outcome that we get to. I obviously agree with what Andrew's saying, but yeah, like, even if it's these guys battling for the second spot, I'm just so not uninterested, because I do care about training camp and I do pay attention to what's happening on those days. It's just like, I'm not going to be drawing massive conclusions because Dylan Gabriel looked really good in 7-on-7s, or Shador looked really good throwing against equipment managers with pads as a defense. They're just holding them up and trying to swat the ball down. Like, I'm not drawing anything from that. Training camp stats, not doing it for me. I need to see everything play out in a way that it should. I need to see it play out on the football field against live defenses in preseason games in real moments. I'll be able to make a better sort of draw of what's actually happening following that. And by the way, probably not going to happen after Carolina. I'm probably going to need to see Philly too, because I'm not judging these quarterbacks off just one game. It's why this process needs to play out before we start establishing a true depth chart on where these guys stand and where we think they're going to stand when week one actually kicks off. I don't know that I'd rule the rookies out of week one, but I do know for a fact that it'd probably be starting Joe Flacco. Let's go to Ashley Bastock of Cleveland.com. She was on with Afternoon Drive today and was talking about what will define this Brown season.
Quarterback is the obvious answer. Like, it's gonna, like, quarterback is what everyone's been talking about. I'm kind of sick of talking about the quarterback situation. I'm gonna say turnovers. Turnovers on both sides of the ball. Can this defense create turnovers? And can this offense take care of the ball? I think really, besides quarterback and what happens there, that's going to be the number one thing. And even if you have, I don't know, like Joe, like if fans just want to pencil in Joe Flacco, or you're hoping for Joe Flacco and that's how it works out, I think his success is still going to be, okay, is he throwing interceptions or not? Are we getting that best version of Joe or not?
So I can't even come close to disagreeing with Ashley, because this is what makes the most sense. Look at last year. The Browns could not create a turnover to save their lives, and, well, they were certainly giving away quite a few of them. Courtesy of Jameis Winston, courtesy of Deshaun at times, courtesy of whoever the hell wanted to play quarterback. They were giving away plenty of interceptions. And honestly, a large part of that conversation for me, though, does ride on the defense. Like, you have to be able to take the ball away, because this offense is going to turn it over. Look at the quarterbacks. Like, we know Joe's going to turn the ball over. We also know that if you play either of the two rookies, there's a good chance that you're going to turn it over in some degree. They're young. They have no NFL experience. You're going to make bad decisions at different points. So, like, you once again look to the defense to step up and create a difference. Make something happen. You need Denzel Ward to be a contributor in the turnover battle and actually getting interceptions. They looked great last year, but I need some more. And I'm also now looking to guys like Greg Newsome and Grant Delpit, and turning and reflecting and looking at, hey, Miles, you forced plenty of fumbles last year. The rest of the defense, do you guys want to fall on those? You guys want to just scoop those up maybe? Maybe just drop a big old body on top of them? Mason Graham, I'll be looking to you. Can you just drop on top of that big brown oblong thing that's sitting in the middle of the field right now? Just sitting on the blades of grass? Yeah, I need you to be able to do it. Hopefully, that would help lead to more wins. It absolutely would. But it's still a lot to ask of the defense. Because, again, I know the offense, no matter who's back there, they're going to turn over the ball. I don't know about a lot, but a decent amount. Enough that I need to call on the defense. All right. That'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back, we'll get to our daily Browns quarterback rankings. And as well, you got to pick somebody to start. I know everybody has their idea in mind. I think, though, you have to flip the question back on the Browns and try to figure out who does they want to start. It's coming up in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
This year, fuel prices have been a bit of a roller coaster. Here in Cleveland, drivers finally have some relief at the pump. But when it comes to groceries and food, it's still pretty bumpy out there. Well, you know what can make your ride smoother? The Upside app. With Upside, you can earn an average 8% cash back on grocery or restaurant purchases, and up to 25 cents per gallon on gas, which means there's money to be earned even when fuel prices are low. There are hundreds of nearby locations like Giant Eagle, Market District, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell. Download the app and see why millions of Upside users have racked up almost $1 billion in cash back earned. For a limited time, get a 10% bonus on your first purchase with promo code LAND09. That's promo code LAND09. For an extra 10% cash back bonus. With Upside, you can roll up to a nearby grocery store, restaurant, or gas station and coast straight to cash back earnings. Don't forget to use promo code LAND09. upside.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.